Hey y'all, welcome to the Lead Her Ship podcast. I'm Brittany Howard, a mama of six and top leader of a multi-million dollar team, and I love to talk about leadership topics that maximize our impact in our homes, relationships, and in the marketplace as we endeavor to juggle all of our responsibilities well. This podcast is for Christian mamas who either are leaders in network marketing or who aspire to be. I have coached a lot of people to the six-figure level and beyond, and I'm going to share with you here what I share with my team that has helped us build this business with a long-term focus in mind and have very meaningful relationships throughout the journey. We're going to dive into the emotions and thoughts that come with building a business. We're going to deal with relationship dynamics that come with leading a team, especially when your team happens to be your actual friends. We're going to discuss ways to help your team catch the bigger vision with you and how to coach them to success. And we're going to do it all through a biblical lens. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I am so excited about this episode because today you're going to get to hear from my mentor and my business coach, Melanie Metro. So excited to welcome Melanie to the show. Melanie, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. I cannot wait for them to learn from you today because we have a very exciting conversation planned that I am just as curious to hear your answers to as I know everybody listening will be. So it's going to be really fun. But Melanie, she has built several seven-figure businesses, actually, one in her network marketing company, and the other is a company that she started with her power partner to help network marketers get to seven figures. And so she knows a thing or two about success. She knows a thing or two about network marketing, and she is somebody that I love learning from. I mean, whether it is a one-minute voice clip that she sends me or a podcast I'm listening to her on or a coaching call that I'm on with her, I walk away having learned something that I can apply and take action on and get results. So that is what Melanie is about. Action and results, strategy, skills, systems. You're going to hear it all today. So I'm excited to have her on the podcast with us today. Okay, so Melanie, let's start with this. I want to ask you this question because when I asked you this before, your answer just blew me away. Like after I picked my jaw up off the floor, then I just had more questions. So my question for you several weeks back was, how many level ones that you have personally sponsored earn six figures or more in their network marketing business?
Yeah. Okay. So I had told you that there were about 35 of them-ish and maybe more at one point, like at the height of my career. I had, 45 level ones that were close, that were climbing towards that six-figure mark.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, those really are incredible results that most people in network marketing don't get. And so I have so many questions about how you did that without pulling your hair out. And obviously, you still have hair. So, so how did you figure out that that was even possible to recruit that many business builders? And these are not customers, y'all. We're talking about business builders and not just business builders who go on to make serious money in their network marketing business. Melanie, when you came into this, did you know that was possible? Like, was that your vision from the beginning? How did you even figure out that it was that you should dream that big?
Yeah. Okay. So I do have that dream big personality. I've always been that way. I can look back at my childhood. Katie and I, who is my power partner, we talk about that all the time. I was the little girl who would buy the Cosmopolitan magazine and then I would rip out the women in the designer outfits and tape them to my wall. And I would dream about having designer outfits and traveling to Paris. Like that was just my personality, right? Little kid, big dreamer. My mom was a secretary and my dad was a, he owned his own construction business. And then he went back and was a teacher. That's what he did later in life. So we are very blue collar, very just normal, average family. And my, I just was this big dreamer. I was always dressing up and like doing these like just big visions for my life. And my mom used to say, you can do anything that you want in your life if you're willing to work hard for it. And that really kind of followed me through my life. When I met my husband, Matt, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, like so bad. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And we had planned and prepped for that. And I went part-time with my first son. I went full-time stay-at-home mom with my second son. And then I realized that that wasn't actually my DNA. You know, being a mom, yes, that was something I cared deeply about, but I really loved my career. I really loved working. I really loved the contribution part of it. And so when I found direct sales, it was the first time that I was like, oh, I can earn these trips and I can go to these exquisite places and I can walk across stages in beautiful ball gowns. And so it like flicked that light on for me, right? Where I go, oh, this is an avenue that I could make all of these dreams come true. Cause I did have a dream of living in the big house and driving the nice cars. And so that stuff was just always was in the back of my mind, but I also didn't want to do it at the cost of my family. So I wanted that ability to be home with my kids. So really what opened the doors to you can make a lot of money with this business was a call that I was on. I was on a mentorship call and my upline was she had won one of our big trips within the company. And she was in Bora Bora. And I will never forget the image. It was her holding a coconut on the beaches of Bora Bora. And she like said how much money she had made while she was on vacation that week. And it was the first time I had gone, oh, I can build residual income if I build a team. Because I was starting to understand sales and I had really good sales. I was making a decent amount of money. But when she talked about the power of residual, it was just like, boom, done. I flipped that switch. And even though I had no idea how to do it, I was committed to figuring it out because I wanted that. I felt like that was going to help me get to the next level. So that was what sort of opened my eyes and really kind of got the ball rolling with this idea of building a team.
I think all the Enneagram 3s listening right now are nodding and going, yeah, yes, me too, me too. And maybe the Enneagram 7s too. Yeah, well, I love that. I love that you, did you have any like fear or doubt surrounding your ability to do that? Has that ever been a thing with you? I'm just curious.
I will never let fear or doubt keep hold me back from doing what I want. But I do have fears and doubts. They are there. So very early on, I remember thinking, okay, if I want to be seen as a business mentor and I want to recruit working members to my team, then I'm going to have to put myself out there. And at the time, I would look at all these other leaders that were farther along than I was, and they were way more eloquent in their public speaking and the way they were hosting opportunity calls. Even their posts on social media were so much better written than mine. And so I had a little bit of that comparison at the beginning. And I really had to talk to myself and say, okay, not everybody is following her. People are following me. They're friends with my social media. They're looking at me as somebody that they admire. And if I don't put myself out there, I'm never going to attract people that want to build a business alongside of me. So I did a lot of putting my blinders on and actually not unfriending people, but just not following and not going to their page to see what they were up to and really kind of staying in my own lane. But yeah, I definitely had a little bit of nerve, like, is it going to work? Are people going to join me? But I was so determined to be successful that I was willing to face that discomfort to achieve the success.
I love it. Okay. Talk us through like the process of like how you started creating business builders and like, was it like an automatic boom? Did it start off slow? How did it build like at the height of your network marketing career? What did you get to monthly? Tell us all that.
Okay. So I'll talk more about how many people I recruited a month and kind of walk you through that because you need to get builders first before you can actually mentor them to the six-figure mark. So I think there's a few things that kind of go into that. So first, the first month that I said, all right, I'm doing this. I'm going to start recruiting business builders. I decided that I was going to run my own opportunity event. And I set up the webinar before, this was long before Zoom was around. So I set up the webinar, watched my upline slide deck, created my own. I marketed on my Facebook page for it, said I was hosting this opportunity Zoom and people could join. They could register. I made a little form that people could fill out and opt in. And nobody showed up. Nobody showed up to it. And so in that moment, I made the decision to hit record and pretend as if I had hundreds of people on that Zoom. And what was kind of going through my mind was, this is going to be great practice. I'm going to be able to share this after the fact, because there were people that had said, I can't be on live. So I wanted to be able to send them a recording. And so I recorded it. I acted as confident as I could in that first webinar. And then afterwards, nobody knew that nobody was on there, that I was presenting to zero people. But I actually went on my social media and I was like, that was amazing. People are so excited, right? I got so much interest about the opportunity. Who wants the recording? And there were a few people that said yes. And I sent out the recording, and all month long, I used that. Every business conversation I had, I would share with them my opportunity call. And so I didn't let it get me down. And I did it again in the second month. The second month, I had one of my team members show up and one prospect actually show up, and she signed up from that call. And so I was like, okay, there's some progress happening, not where I want to be, but I also was more confident in the second month presenting the opportunity. Now I use that recording for 30 days. Month three, I had like five or six people that got on. And slowly but surely, I started to attract more and more people to the opportunity. And what I did was I started to create a system for it, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later, but I started to create a system for how I would find and attract people. I started to say, this is how many posts I'm going to do leading up. You know, this is the calls to action that I'm going to do. Here's the messages I'm going to send out. These are the emails that I'm going to send. And so I began to create a process around recruitment every single month. And I would set this goal for how many people I wanted to bring in. So it started small, 1 to 2 people I was signing a month. Then it was 4 or 5 people a month. Then it was 6 or 7 people a month. And I got all the way up to, at the height of my career, was bringing in 20 to 30 business builders a month to my team. And it was because I had created this systematic approach to it. And people really saw me as a business mentor. If they wanted to build a business in this company, I was the go-to person, right? I started to be known for that because of the way that I was positioning myself. So I would say at the height that I was bringing in people that wanted to work the business, and they knew that I could be the person that would give them a systematic approach to success.
That's awesome. Just so incredible and inspiring. All right. So I love how you said when you first started, or the first time you did a webinar, nobody came. The second time, like one person came. The next time, a few more. So each time you would do that, like after that first time you did it and nobody showed up, did you change anything for the second round, or did you just tell yourself, well, it's going to take time for it to gain traction and not change anything? Just keep doing what you're doing and trust that it's going to work. Did you tweak things? What did you tell yourself and what did you do?
So I'm always a big fan of not scrapping things completely, because when you do that, you never have data to compare, right? If you're always comparing apples to oranges, you don't actually know what works because you don't give it a long enough time to actually stick. And I see that a lot with direct sellers, right? They create a new system for their downline. They do it for 1 month. It doesn't work. And they're like, that doesn't work. So they're just always in creation mode, and they never can really find a duplicatable system that can last, because they're not really giving it time. So for me, same thing applies to the business opportunity. I did it the first month, and then I went back and I was like, what didn't feel good? What didn't make me excited, right? What felt wonky? And when I say that, like even in my presentation, what felt like I fumbled over my words, and what didn't feel like a powerful close? Did I feel like it was too long? And so I just reworked pieces of the actual presentation. I also reworked parts of my marketing, things I started to realize was, and this is even marketing for products too, I would notice the trend always was it needed to give something 5 to 7 days. I had to talk about something for 5 to 7 days before it actually gains momentum. So I would notice if I didn't give myself enough time to talk about the business opportunity, right? So say I'm going to host a webinar on a Thursday and it's a Tuesday. 2 days is not enough time to get a good chunk of people on. They really haven't even caught on to my, to what I'm talking about yet. They're like, webinar, what business? I don't know what she's talking about. So I made sure that I had 5 to 7 days leading up to an event or mentorship spots being open where I was actually talking about it. So what I learned is I needed to make sure I was talking about the problems and the desires of my ideal client. I also started to realize that, okay, sometimes I would talk about mentorship spots being open or talk about the webinar, but as soon as I did the webinar, I would pivot back to product. And I was like, wait, I'm not actually getting, people need time to sign up after they listen to it. So I then started to realize the 3 or 4 days after you host a webinar, sneak peek, anything that you do, you now need to, like, people are curious. So I needed to pull them over the finish line by actually talking about the women that I had helped. I needed to show what my mentorship style was. I needed to give some testimonials, whether it's through my stories or whatever. And so I found, like, and create FOMO and a deadline. Okay, 3 spots left or 1 spot left or mentorship spots close at midnight tonight. So just month after month, I did these little fine tunes and these like tweaks along the way to where I got it to be, I knew when I said this wording on this at this time, I would be able to get those people that were watching but hadn't made the decision yet. So I never really fully scrapped it. I was just always, I always say wash, rinse, and repeat, right? You are just constantly refining and making it better and sticking to what really works.
So interesting and so good. I also love how you said that when you first started doing these webinars, you got the slide deck from your sponsor and you basically just took her presentation, kind of tweaked it, made it your own. And I think that's so important for people to understand, because a lot of times we look at somebody who they are polished or their presentation is spot on and we feel like, oh my gosh, I can't do that. But they don't realize that we're not original either. Like, we copy things and we just recreate it and make it our own. And I've done that very thing from the beginning, even with the products. Like, I would hear a good presentation about the products and I'm like, oh, I like how that's explained. And I would literally write it down. I'd write the entire, I would listen to 30 seconds or 10 seconds, write down exactly what they said word for word. And I'd have 2 pages and I would memorize the whole thing and then get up in front of people and do the whole thing. And then everybody would think I was smart. And I would say, I'm not that smart. My upline is, though, but you can do what I did and you can just memorize what I memorized. Anybody can do that. All right. So I love that you said that. Okay. So let's talk about systems that scale. How did you create systems that scale that allow you to keep up with so many business builders and still feel like you're serving them well?
Oh, great question. Start now. That's my best piece of it. Like, I started building systems when my team was small. So I'll give you a perfect example of this. Our company did not have an onboarding or a training for new people whenever they signed up, right? You just got signed up and you figured it out. And I had been putting together a training for my people. When they signed up, I was putting them through, I'm going to tell you this, 30 days of training. It was hour-long videos, like 7 days a week, right? Clearly, that's not how it ended up. It was way shorter in the end. But I was already thinking ahead, even when my team was small. I was like, okay, what process can I put them through that gets the content in front of them? So I had started to put together this training, and I was actually on an incentive trip. And they do training on the incentive trips. And we had a corporate trainer who said, hey, we're putting together this training for people as they enroll in the company. If anybody wants to help and be a part of the pilot of this, let me know. And I walked straight up to the front of the room after she was done. And again, I was like nobody in the company. And I was like, I'm developing this training for my team. Would you like me to share the Google Doc with you? And so I shared my Google Doc with the corporate trainer, and she invited me then to be a part of the committee that helped to develop it. And so I started to pilot from the very beginning trainings with the company, and I didn't wait until we finished developing the training. I was actually feeding it to my team in real time. I was like, all right, guys, we're going to do this too. They're trying to figure it out, but we're going to literally do it parallel. And so I had a really small team, but I was already thinking about how do I train people in a systematic way? Because one of the things that always stuck with me is if a system ends with you, like if we take you out of the position, if the system dies, if nobody can duplicate past you because you are the only person that can do it, it's not duplicatable and you won't have long-term success. So that seed was planted before I was really at a leadership rank. So I was already thinking, how am I going to onboard people? What's the process going to look like? I was developing the system and I was automating some things right from the get-go, like the welcome emails that they get and certain trainings that I could just send out through emails or could be in a Facebook group. And so what happened is as my team grew, I started to think about where do I need to fill in the gaps? And I would start to notice like, ooh, people really get stuck in month two after they burn through their warm market. So instead of going, oh, that's just what happens in network marketing, I said, what can I do? What can I provide to fill that gap? And so I started to develop systems where I would then lead somebody through month two. And a lot of it was automated, right? Where they would just go through trainings. And then I would say, okay, now they get stuck in the, there's kind of a big gap between that month two and leadership, right? That next rank that they need to accomplish. And so I just started to create a process for people at whatever point that they went through. And I started to think, okay, if I can funnel people into these systems, I can also pay attention to who's showing up to the calls. I can pay attention to who's doing the assignments. I can pay attention to the people that actually do have some potential, and I can mentor those people and I can really support them. And those were the people that would get a lot of my one-on-one time. Those were the people I was scheduling one-on-ones with. But I was always having touch points with my organization where we would do a group call, right? So all my new people coming in, they got me 4 times a month on a group call and I could coach them. And then I would pull the really great ones out of there and we would do some one-on-ones. So I learned to find this balance with how I mentored people, because what I also started to find was that anybody could tell me they were going to be the next top leader, but talk was free. It was really about show me the action. And I started to verbalize that. You show me the action, you meet me halfway, I will coach you the other half. And so I started to set the expectations of you've got to meet me halfway. And people really started to show up because they wanted the time and they wanted, and there was a process and everybody coming in knew this is just how we filter the team through. And just like putting webinars in place, it took about 90 days for my systems to take place even within my team. Like I had to commit to it and my team like slowly got on board with what I was actually doing.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So everybody knows the business is 80% mindset. It's only 20% skill set. So even if you have solid systems for training, how do you keep people going in their mindset, especially when it's that many people and you're talking about doing things in a group setting? You know, there's a lot of things that feel very vulnerable that people are not going to be willing to share in a group setting. How do you overcome obstacles like that when it comes to scaling your business and having so many business builders to lead?
Okay. Gosh, there's so many different ways we can go with this. Number one is mindset needs to be a part of the training process. So even in my new distributor mentorship, for example, let's just say at week two, what happens at week two? People realize, okay, this is harder than I thought it was going to be, right? Like messaging people and following up and having conversations and posting on social media. I literally address that with a mindset video. Right? I catch those. So you think about your journey, what parts along your own personal journey did you kind of get tripped up with the mindset piece? And you want to have a video or something or any kind of content in there that addresses that. You might be feeling this way. All right. So, or even on the weekly coaching call, I would always start with mindset. You should be feeling this way, or do you feel this way right now? Right? So I'd always go back to the compound effect. I would, every month I would tell the pumping of the well story. I would just remind them of how slow sometimes it feels to get started, but what eventually, so I had to paint the picture of possibility for them every single month. So it's not just tactical when you're group coaching people. You also are, the mindset is a piece of those calls when you're doing them also. So that's one part of it. I also began to split people out into groups. So, you know, I had a lot of people that were coming in at the beginning levels, but then they thinned out, right? So, you know, I might've had 20 or 30 people coming in a month, but listen, not everybody had the same staying or sticking power. So it became a little bit easier as they kind of filtered through. I would have a nice handful of people. And so what I would do is I would have calls with, I would do like three or four at a time where I was group coaching people that were at the same level that were working towards the same goals. And that's where we could really get vulnerable. That's where we could hold each other accountable. That's where we could push each other to the next rank. I would put them in message pods together where we were all working together towards the same thing. So I really, it did get personal once we kind of got out of kind of that initial month one and month two, once I was really seeing the potential in the people that I was mentoring. So that, and then I also have different levels. So I do with my people that are at a leadership rank. And so, you know, it's all, it's different for different companies. So whatever your, what you really say is a leadership rank, I would do a Zoom with them every Wednesday at 9 a.m. We still actually do it to this day. It's called the Coffee and Conversation. It's Rising Stars. And that's where I lead them through things that they need to be coached on. Like, how do they develop the leadership skills? Or how do they navigate people that are giving them excuses? Or, right? So there were different pockets where I was meeting the needs of different people. And then my upper level, my top leaders, we would get together on a regular basis, usually once a month or twice a month, where we were talking about what it's like to lead an organization, the problems that we face. And it was our safe space to be really honest and vulnerable about what was going on in the business. So people always knew they had direct access to me. I would always say, you can text me. Or if you use like WhatsApp, I know some people use WhatsApp chat or, but funnel people. Do you want them on Facebook or do you want them in text message? I would tell people, I'm always available. I'm never too busy for you. My job is to help you succeed and I want to help you succeed. And so I communicated that. So even though we had a really large team, people still got my attention. I was still showing up and answering their questions.
And what did that look like in terms of how much you were working? If you had this many business builders and you're giving them access to you, what did that translate into your workday? How did that?
So it's interesting because I attracted a lot of Enneagram 3s. So I have a lot of very independent women that I actually have to message them and say, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. And they're like, I'm fine. I don't need anything. And so sometimes I'm like, we're going to set up a once-a-month call just so we can actually touch base. So I do. And because of the way I marketed, you know, I'm independent. I'm a go-getter. I take charge of things. So I have a very independent, strong organization of leaders. So you might think, oh, that's a lot of people, but I really teed that up for independence from the get-go with my people. I taught them to be resourceful. I taught them to go look for the answer and I set business hours. So one of the things that I did was my team started to really get bigger was I knew that I needed to build my personal business. I still needed that influx of customers and sales coming in the door. I wanted that. I wanted that healthy balance. And I always wanted to be recruiting the next wave of leaders. Heaven forbid somebody takes a step back or decides that this isn't for them. So the first part of my day is always my personal business. And actually still to this day, I don't really do calls until lunchtime because I like the morning time to write my content, to answer my emails, to serve my customers, to do whatever I need to do in my personal business. My afternoon, and I was honest and candid. I'm like, I schedule coaching calls and calls in the afternoons. So they knew that they would hear back from me after 11 a.m. So they just knew, like they learned to know that that's when I was available. And then I also use Calendly to set up coaching calls. So it's not, hey, Melanie, I'm having a crisis. Are you available now? It is, hey, Melanie, I need to talk to you. It's nothing urgent. Can we set up a call? Send me your link. And so I taught them to to ask me, like, when are you available to set up a call? And so I sometimes think as women and as direct sellers, we feel like it's our duty and responsibility to drop everything we're doing and answer our people, because that's the only way they're going to succeed, is if we're just available 24/7. And what I found is that was a false narrative that I was believing was the only way I could build a really large organization. And that was so wrong. So I put those practices in place, right? Or sometimes I'd say, that's a great question. You can find the answer in the FAQ here. Or you know what? I talked about that on the call last week. You should go check out the recording. So I really was good about telling people where to go for answers, especially if they weren't being resourceful on their own. So those were some of the ways that I supported people. I set strong boundaries, but I did work a lot of hours. Like, I worked a full-time job. I never want people to think I built this massive business and I work 2 hours a day, because that is a lie. You know, I was working a full-time job, you know, 5-6 hours. And probably at the height of it, I probably was 8 hours a day for a good chunk of those years as it was ramping up and really getting going.
Yeah, I feel like 8 hours a day to produce 7 figures is not too much to ask. I feel like that's very balanced. All right, let's just say you have somebody listening who they are thinking that if they had not had someone coaching them through their mindset struggles along the way, that they would have already quit. And maybe they don't have strong belief in the fact that if they have these systems set up for training and mentoring people, that they'll be able to keep their people going or develop strong leaders or just be effective in keeping people moving forward. Yeah. What would you say to that person?
So you don't just plug somebody into a system and go, I'm out, right? And wash your hands of it. That's where the system fails. What the delicate balance is you're plugging people into a system and then you're paying attention. So if I had somebody in my organization and I noticed they were on fire, they were crushing it. And then all of a sudden, I just noticed they got quiet. I would not sit back and fold my arms and say, well, it's the system's job to figure it out. I would reach out. I would say, I notice you're not as engaged as you usually are. Is everything okay? Do you want to set up? So there was still a human connection there, right? I was just alleviating some of the training and the things that I was literally saying on repeat over and over and over again that I could put into a system, but I didn't completely remove the human connection. And I do firmly believe that that's why people are so resistant to putting these systems in places, because they actually feel like it's not going to be personal enough. So you, as the leader, know when people get quiet, or you notice when they're starting to be maybe a little more negative, or they aren't showing up from things. That's our opportunity to say, hey, what's going on? And that doesn't always mean that we need to jump on an hour-long call. That could be some messages back and forth through a voice chat. Or it may warrant a coaching call where we actually need to get on and talk about the challenges that we're facing. So it's the awareness of, I see that somebody who has great potential is taking a step back and I need to get in there and mentor them. But it's also recognizing that when you're coaching somebody and they're not open to coaching, meaning they're constantly coming to you with excuses, they're constantly telling you they didn't do the things from the last call that you had, that you begin to understand that you are not solely responsible for dragging them over the finish line, that at one point or another, you have to put the ball in their court, right? And this is something even I think you and I have chatted about too. It's, I like to say, hey, I know we're scheduled to do a call this week, but I noticed you haven't posted on social media in a week. And I know that one of the things we chatted about last week was you really showing up and having more consistency. What's going on, right? It's having that conversation before you get on a coaching call. And if somebody is like, you know, I know what I should be doing, I'm just not doing it, then you have to make the call. Do you postpone the coaching call? Do you say, all right, well, I want to coach you. I'm here for you. But how about we take the next week? You know what you need to work on. Why don't you get in and do the work you need to do? Let's reschedule, or let's touch base a week from today. And so you're putting responsibility back on the person to do the work too. Right. So I think that's really important, is that we're actually teaching people how to be independent thinkers and problem solvers. Otherwise, for the rest of your life, they're going to need you to give them mindset coaching to get to be successful in their business. And so we need to start having a little bit of that independence in there too.
Yes, totally agree with all of that. Okay, so speaking of systems, what are some of the systems that are needed to support that many business builders well and develop them into strong leaders?
Okay, so you definitely, and listen, I'm going to spout out a ton of things. You won't build them all in one day. It takes time to build all of these systems, all right? So you need an onboarding system. So you need something that is when somebody comes in, it should be automated. So I took time to set up email marketing. And so as soon as somebody gets signed up, they get assigned a tag, they go into a funnel. And my assistant is very helpful at making sure everybody gets into where they need to be and giving me proper reporting. So I know who the people are that are coming in at any given moment. They're going through that new mentorship process. That's typically 30 days, right? They're in that new business builder process. There's usually metrics there that they have to meet. Once they meet those, they move into a phase two. Because again, I want to support them because in phase two, they have different needs and different things they help. So we do a phase two that lasts about 30 days as well. Once they get through there, I typically say to myself, all right, are they ready for more of I want to help develop them to leadership? And I'll do push groups once a quarter where I'm sort of developing a group of people all at one time in a push group. So usually four times a year, I'll do like a 30-day push to a certain rank that we're working to get people to. And that's a little more hands-on. That's a little fun. That's like high energy, you know, we're kind of pushing people in that direction. Once they get to a leadership rank, they go into a series. It's called Leader Now What? That's what I call it. It's basically a four-part pre-recorded training that they watch. They have assignments they do. They report back to me every week as they do them. And it's all the things that you need to be aware of when you hit that leadership rank. Like, you know, you might have the rank, but you're not really solid. You don't really have duplication yet. So I like teach them back office. I teach them compensation stuff. I teach them just a little more of the leadership. This is where I introduce time management, managing a team and your personal time, because they're feeling that misalignment where they're spending all their time with their people. And then from there on, it's much more one-on-one or like small groups for like leadership and beyond, where I'm just working with pockets of people to help develop them. So that's what it looks like from a systematic perspective. Those are kind of the big areas that I follow.
Okay, love it. Okay, so what do you think that it takes to create momentum?
Energy and you, like me, you and me. So I can look at a leader that will follow all of my systems, that will put them all in place, and they will flop. All right. It will not work at all. And they'll be like, Melanie, none of that worked. And it's always their energy and their belief. So 100%, the reason that my business just became a freight train that I literally had to stop. Like I just had to stop. I mean, even after I hit the top rank, I stayed there 4 years in a row. I literally just had to stop because it was just going and I couldn't stop it at that point. But that was because I was so passionate about the business. I was so passionate that this business could change your life. I was also passionate that it wasn't for everybody, that not everybody was meant to be a direct seller. But if you wanted to create an income, I could help you do it. And I was like, we are changing lives. We are making an impact. We are creating an income. And I just, with so much conviction and energy poured into people, I showed up like that on my social. I showed up like that on team calls. And I breathed belief into my organization. And they literally believed that they could do it, right? So our team would hit these numbers that other teams were like, oh my God, you're on Melanie Mitro's team. Like, I can't believe you're on her team. And they would tell them their numbers. And we would always have numbers that were way higher than any other team in the company. But they believed it because I was like, of course you can do it, right? So I just raised the ceiling for them. I never let them think that it wasn't possible. And so I really do believe that was me. That was the way I showed up. That was them. I just breathed belief into them always, whether it was a live in the team page, it was a team call, it was a leadership call. But I do believe if the leader doesn't wholeheartedly believe in the business and believe that they can figure it out, even if they're hitting a roadblock, you are the stopgap to the whole thing. Like, it doesn't matter what you do. It is your belief in your energy that is what drives the entire thing forward.
Absolutely, which is precisely why we say this business, the success is going to be 80% in your mind and only 20% what you do. I mean, you got to have both. And you're not going to have the systems or the skills or the success if you don't have the belief to back it up. So I totally agree with that. What would you say to leaders who they are feeling like they're lacking energy? Maybe they feel tired. Maybe they feel like they've been working at this a while and they don't have energy. They just feel tired.
Mm. I have been in those seasons. I think we should just acknowledge that's a real feeling. There isn't something wrong with you because you feel tired. We all get sort of stuck in a rut where we feel like it's Groundhog Day and we're doing the same things and we're saying the same over and over and we're leading the same calls. And so you got to change your state. I will say that I pay attention to my energy, and I'll give you my example of how I do it, but it might not be the same for you. So I just want you to take the principle and think how you can apply it to your business and your life. So let's look at a week. I am the kind of person that I like Sunday night to be my Monday. And I show up with so much energy on a Sunday night because I just feel like people are ready for the week. We're planning our week. We're getting our time blockers in order. We're talking about our goals for the week. And so my family all knows mom goes to work Sunday night, right? Like that's just when I start my work week. And I will work super hard Sunday through about Thursday at lunchtime. Why? And that's very strategic. And maybe you notice this too. It kind of goes quiet on social media on Thursday afternoon and Thursday evening. Like people are actually starting to think about their weekend already. Friday's kind of quiet. So I would do all my calls. I would do all my trainings Monday through Thursday. And then I would literally schedule a nap on Thursday afternoon. And so instead of forcing myself to sit there and work when there was nothing left in my brain, I had given it all. Thursday afternoon was like, I'll get a massage or I'll go meet a friend for lunch or I'll take a nap. Friday was always like fun day with my kids. We would, when they were little and not in school, that's when we would do, you know, muck and mess, or we'd go do play dates with friends or, you know, do art classes. And I would allow myself to recharge versus feeling like I needed to be on 24/7. So I learned to find this cadence within a week, but I also learned to find that cadence within the quarter and within the year. I just knew that there were certain times where I would start to get burnt out. So when you have a quarter push for a qualification for a trip, you know that you're going to go really, really hard to get to that deadline. And instead of just turning around and pushing to the next deadline, give yourself a momentary pause. And what I mean by that, you don't stop working. I mean, you still do the things, but you have to give yourself time to rebalance. So this is really hard for a 7 or a 3 on the Enneagram to do because we're always like on to the next, on to the next. You don't even celebrate your accomplishments. You're just moving on to the next big goal. That's where leaders burn out. So give yourself a moment to rebalance. Maybe it's a girls' trip. Maybe it's sleeping in. It's doing something fun. But actually scheduling your joy into your calendar. And sometimes it's cyclical where you just know this is a hard push and I need to refocus. That helps you keep your energy sustainable. And then when you hit a rut, do something different, right? Maybe get together in person versus a Zoom. You know, do change up the way you're running your VIP groups or your Facebook groups or the way you're doing business opportunities. Like change the vibe of it. Try something a little slightly different. You're always reinventing the way that you're doing it, so it gives it some new life. But I would be lying if I didn't say to you, like, I do get tired, but I don't ever quit. I just learn to rest. Mm. And I think that's important to know.
That's so good, Melanie. Okay. So you have taken your systems for creating business builders and put them into a course. And I have taken this course and I have learned so much through this course, and I have implemented your systems, which a lot of people in my company are now benefiting from. Just so y'all know, those came from Melanie. But the first month I did that webinar, and then I had my mentorship set up, all of this, like what you're describing, I had 5 new level 1 business builders just come alongside and want to do this. And so it works. It definitely works. And it is work. It takes a lot of work to set it all up. But man, I really enjoy setting it all up and doing the work and connecting with the people and casting the vision and then mentoring them to success. So you've put all of this in a course. You want to tell people how they can learn more from you about how to create business builders and set these systems up?
Yes. Okay. So I created the Rockstar Recruitment course because people were asking me all the time how I did it. And I was like, I'm going to put all of my brain in one place, again, in a systematic way so that people could start to finish from identifying. Well, number one, we start with mindset very first week. And then we kind of walk through the process of, you know, ideal client and where do we find those people into how do I actually post for business builders? What does the social media look like? What's the conversations? All the way through to we talk about email marketing. We talk about hosting opportunity Zooms or, you know, they can be recorded or in whatever, however you want to do it, all the way through the process. And there's even a lesson on onboarding. So if you want to know what my onboarding system is, I do have that dropped in there as well. So I put that course together. It's actually, it'll be launching on April 10th is when I'm actually going to be teaching it live this round. So I'm going to be actually teaching it. I'm updating some of the content. You can go through it again live on April 10th, but on April 3rd, which I think is around the time we'll be airing our podcast episode, I'm opening the doors to a 3-day blitz. So if you kind of want to know a little bit more about my style, you want to learn a little bit more about the Rockstar Recruitment course and my teachings, you can actually come and join that Rockstar Recruitment Blitz. It's a 3-day event that I'll be doing on the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th of April. So I'll give you a link to that. You can drop that for people in the show notes. And I'll also give you the link to the course. You'll be able to buy the course too at the time that you sign up for the Blitz too, if you are interested in that.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited for people to take advantage of that. And also, Melanie has generously given the listeners of this podcast a discount. So if you use the link in the show notes of this episode, she's going to give you a discount off of that Rockstar Recruitment course, which will change your business. If you go through it and you apply it, it will change things for you. So I'm excited. Well, Melanie, this has been fantastic. So much value packed into one episode. I know you said you took your brain and put it all in one spot. And I'm thinking, can you please help me take part of my brain's over there, part of my brain's over there. Can you help me take my brain and put it in one spot? That's what we need to work on next.
I know. You're just going to need to come to Pittsburgh, or I'm going to need to come to you, and we're going to have to spend a few days together.
I am there. You name the time and the date. I will be there. So I so enjoy working with you, learning from you. Thank you for pouring out on this podcast today. Appreciate you so much, Melanie. Any last tips you want to add before we say goodbye?
Any last tips? I hope this inspired people to raise their ceiling, their glass ceiling, and to really understand that whatever it is that's holding you back from going to the next level, if you just look in the mirror, that's actually what's holding you back, that you can grow a large organization of very successful women that are connected, that become lifelong friends, and you can do it in a systematic way that brings you joy and does not create burnout. But it does require, just like leadership requires a new level of you to show up, building a larger team just requires a new level of you to show up too. And you've gotten this far and you can continue to build. You just have to be willing to learn the new skills that are required. So I'm rooting for all of you to win. I know that you can do it, and I'm definitely here to help if you need anything.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Melanie. So, was this helpful to you today? If it was, would you do me a huge favor and leave me a 5-star rating and review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts? And it also means the world to me when you guys shout me out on social media and tag me. Your feedback is so valuable and so encouraging to me. Thanks so much for hanging out with me this week, guys. See y'all next week.